Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, SJS. It's great to have you with us on this Tuesday. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Dan Patrick. What do we do now? The Super Bowl's over with. Joe Flacco most likely is going to sign a huge contract with the Baltimore Ravens and deserves it. I mean, here's a guy who's developed himself from square one and has worked his way through, taken certainly the criticism during the course of his career, in the development years of his career, when the game is going 100 miles an hour, then probably 70 miles an hour for him falling into place. Also interesting over the weekend was Indiana-Michigan basketball. Indiana's right now sort of sandwiched in between. We there. I don't know if we have a true number one seed. There's that kind of great balance. Cameron is not the best conference of the country, which at people make just turn and look at it. Really? And it was a remarkable statement because, look, these things are cyclical. Some, you know, I think this statement. He says, look at Minnesota. Lost four in a row. Digger, they lost four in a row in the conference. They lose four in a row to the Missouri Valley Conference or four in a row to the Mid-Continent. They can't be. You have to be kidding me, really? They give you money?
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show in the Sunbury Motors Studio East. Kevin Herr, Steve Jones joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio West in just a few minutes. In the meantime, this is my opportunity to take over. I like the way that sounds, actually. And you know what the best part is? He can't complain about any of the stories I'm going to talk about. Unless, of course, you call in later on the Hilscher's General Store hotline and tell him about it. But we'll just make it our secret right now. Well, all right. So, you know, I love the TMZ side of life. Steve knows that. So you knew that's what I was going to be talking about. The performance at halftime, reportedly not an issue at the Super Bowl. We talked about this yesterday. They said they had generators set up, and that's how they ran the performance at halftime, was off generators. I'll tell you what, those are some really big generators, and whoever actually owns those generators or manufacture them, they may actually want to do a commercial about it, because there were a lot of lights and a lot of effects that were being run off generator, and half the Superdome wasn't being run off anything at that point. But we'll talk more about the power outage in just a few minutes. Right now, the discussion is about a non-halftime performance at next year's Super Bowl. Of course, next year's Super Bowl is in the Meadowlands, and because of the weather, the New York Post is reporting that there is no plan for a musical halftime show because NFL officials can't figure out how to stage the festivities in a frigid climate. So this may be the big drawback for the next Super Bowl, is not having a halftime show. I'm not really that upset about it, and as you heard Steve talk about it yesterday, I'm sure he's not that upset about it either, but right now, the Post is saying that it will be cold. Well, that doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And it will be difficult for a musician to be able to perform. It's not only the acts and the singers, but the crews that have to put the stage together, according to the New York Post. And, you know, the assembly has to be done a certain way, choreographed, rehearsed, assembled, and disassembled as fast as possible so as not to delay the game any more than it already is. And you can't assemble the stage and break it down fast enough in the cold. The newspaper is writing that there is no plan in place for what to do. For now, we just don't know if there's going to be a halftime show. Now, here's the other thing. Will you really miss it if there is no halftime show? I mean, the halftime won't be as long. So is that a big deal? Maybe you bring in a marching band and just have it like a regular halftime in the NFL. Just a thought. Is that good or bad? Is that good or bad for the Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't think the halftime show, having one and not having one, is going to make that much of a difference. Now, this year's halftime show definitely caused some controversy. Many folks thought that it was, well, it was not good old-fashioned family entertainment. It was a little bit too far over the edge for some of the younger viewers at that time of the night. But the biggest question is, did it have anything to do with the power outage? And Superdome officials were actually warned months before the Super Bowl that the electrical system could suffer an outage and could cause a problem even before the big game was running. So Sunday's 34-minute outage, still under investigation. Records released Monday show that the Superdome officials were worried in October about losing power in the championship game. Tests on the electrical feeders that connect the incoming power from the utility lines to the stadiums showed decay and, quote, a chance of failure, unquote, state officials warned in a memo that's dated back in mid-October. The documents were obtained by the Associated Press and show that the utility that supplies the stadium expressed concern about the reliability of the service before the Super Bowl. So this may be enough proof to say that the halftime show had nothing to do with the issues of power right after halftime. But the Entergy of New Orleans, the utility, said it expressed concerns regarding the reliability from the dome service connection point to the dome. So it's Entergy's connection point to the dome is what they were worried about. And the memo that was prepared for the Louisiana Stadium and Exposition District said that the authorities subsequently authorized spending of nearly $1 million on Superdome improvements that included $600,000 for upgrading the electrical feeder cable system, which is what Steve was talking about yesterday, and that was done in December. And they discussed this in previous board meetings. Well, the Superdome Commission records a show of $513 and change, $513,000 and change, to replace feeder cables awarded to a company called All-Star Electric based in suburban New Orleans. Guess what? The authority now has themselves a lawyer, and they're going to be involved in this too. So, again, here we are a couple of days after the biggest game in the NFL and the third most watched Super Bowl of all time, and we have no idea what caused the lights to go out. Now, CBS is really enjoying this because they have their logo all over the place because, you know, they were the ones that had the contract for the Super Bowl. So if you want to show a picture of the lights out on television, you have to have the NFL on CBS logo involved in it as well. So CBS is really enjoying this. The only thing that they were worried about is during that power outage, they were actually worried about losing viewers. Well, listen, I was looking at what was on TV. I'm sorry, you're not going to lose viewers to the Puppy Bowl. I even watched a few minutes of that earlier in the day and couldn't figure out what was going on, although I thought Scott Graham sounded really good doing play-by-play for it. I don't know how you could mess that up, but anyway. So what was CBS worried about losing? So they actually, when they got the new numbers from Nielsen, they actually had them take that section out to get a better idea of how well the Super Bowl did. So with taking that 34-minute outage away, the Super Bowl was the third largest watched game, Super Bowl game of all time. My thought is this. Wouldn't it be higher? Because more people would actually find out what was going on. Well, in looking at the numbers, believe it or not, people did tune out at that point. And if you look at the score of the game, you kind of think, well, maybe that had something to do with it. People were already thinking about, well, what else is on because this Super Bowl's over? Oh, the lights went out. Maybe we're done. Well, CBS actually had them pull that 34 minutes out of the ratings period, and they still got their third highest Super Bowl. Well, here's the latest news from sports that we don't often get a chance to talk about here on the Steve Jones Show. And because I have this 15 minutes for my rant, we're going to go ahead and talk about it. Lindsey Vonn, you know, arguably one of the most famous skiers in U.S. history, at least recent history, the Olympic gold medalist, had a very bad spill on the first day of the Super G competition in Austria today. In the part of the World Championships, she has apparently, it looks like, torn an ACL-MCL in a crash. Now, the first reports were that she actually broke her leg, but it appears as though that she tore an ACL and MCL and might be healed in time for the 2014 Olympics. So the defending Olympic champion may not have an opportunity to go back and defend her title. A few hours after the crash, the diagnosis came in from the U.S. ski team, and they sent out a statement. According to the U.S. ski team doctor, Kyle Wilkins, Vonn suffered a torn ACL and MCL in a right knee and the lateral tibial plateau fracture. So that might be the broken part that we were hearing words of earlier on. She'll be out for the remainder of the season, is expected to return to racing for the 2013-14 World Cup season and for the games in Russia in 2014. And those games are right now 367 days away, a little over a year, actually 2 days away from being a year away. So the 28-year-old airlifted off of the slopes by helicopter in a carrying device, I'll call it that way for lack of a better description. And she is out for the remainder of the season and may have trouble coming back in time for the 2014 games. So that's some of the news that you won't get a chance to hear a whole lot of throughout the day in sports. Steve will be back here in just a few minutes, and he'll have a preview of tonight's Penn State game here on WKOK. It's Shikellamy Braves Wrestling. The Braves will take on Belfont later this afternoon. Steve Williams will have the call from Belfont. Again, you can hear that beginning at 7:06 here on WKOK and online at WKOK.com. Tomorrow night, it will be Shikellamy basketball as the Braves take on the Milton Black Panthers, a team that is on the upsurge right now in high school basketball. Milton playing very well, trying to keep themselves in the hunt for a top seed or one of the top seeds in the district and give themselves a shot at maybe an outside shot at a Heartland Conference championship. That might be a little bit harder to do, but they're definitely in right now for a District 4 top-tier seed. So it'll be a big game for both Shikellamy and Milton. Shikellamy becoming District 4 eligible on Saturday with their win. But they have, again, a big game coming up between those two. And it's been a great rivalry over the years and has kind of faded away a little bit. But Milton on a resurgence. Matter of fact, we'll have head coach Steve DeLong on the program tomorrow right around 3:10 here on the Steve Jones Show. When we return, Steve will return. And then you'll get a chance to talk more college basketball. Big one today involving two Big Ten teams. And I'm not talking about the Penn State game either. I wonder what Digger Phelps thinks about that. Steve Jones Show continues after the news on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I noticed on the Mark Lawrence email that your rant is scheduled for 4:40 today.
We moved it up a little bit.
What was today's rant about?
Today's rant involved no halftime show this year at the next Super Bowl, an update on the power outage, and Lindsey Vonn's crash.
You know what you do with that? But you know what you do with that Lindsey Vonn fine? You know, she'll be fine in a year. Look, when you get to the Super Bowl next year, it's outdoors, correct?
That is correct.
So why don't you just have it take place inside the Prudential Center or Madison Square Garden and then show that at halftime and then have that up on the big video screens at MetLife Stadium?
Yeah. I mean, that works. It takes kind of the magic away from the halftime
NFL wants. It's going to be 40 degrees. You want people singing when it's 40 degrees?
They're getting paid an awful lot of money.
To get sick?
You take your vitamins. I'm sorry. You're paid an awful lot of money to be able to play. Now, I understand that it's more of a issue because of being able to put the stage together and everything like that. I get that part of it. But the fact that I don't want to sing because it's cold,
Come on, man. You are not a nice guy.
I said, you know what, throw the halftime show out. Just put a band in there. I'm fine with that.
Well, I would too. I would make halftime 12 minutes like it always is. I mean, it's 12 minutes in every other NFL game. I think you put everybody at a disadvantage. I think the Ravens were an incredible, turned out to be an incredible disadvantage in the combination between the combination of halftime plus the power outage hurt them. But I would put the halftime show at the Prudential Center over at the Rock, or else I would have it at Madison Square Garden, piping into the stadium. They'll see it. They'll love it. They'll enjoy it, the whole thing. You'll have a nice crowd. You can sell separate admission over there, have some of the money go to charity, you know. And not only that, if you want to really, like, you know, get people drawn in, you could put, like, the Beyonce experience outside when fans are coming in.
The Beyonce. I don't even want to know what that's about. Hey, hang on, Steve. I got Buzz in Northumberland wants to chat with you.
Buzz, how are you today? It's nice to hear from you.
Steve, I'd be suspicious of having an off-premise halftime show. You don't know if they're really there or not. In view of the lip sync.
Well, that's okay. So. We saw Beyonce, like, out there in front, yeah, live in front of everybody, and Biden smiling his brains out, and she wasn't singing a word.
Yeah, I couldn't make anything out of that song. What I called to ask you about was something that happened last week around here, and I didn't get a chance to call before, but a really special young man from Lewisburg is going to live his dream by becoming a walk-on at Penn State next year and have been offered scholarships to Harvard and Princeton, I think. Kevin, is that correct, the Smith kid?
I think Lehigh was in there as well.
Okay. So anyhow, here's a young man who always dreamed to go to Penn State, and he's a terrific athlete, one of the two-way Ironmen up at Lewisburg. I'm not clear on what it means to be a walk-on. Does that mean he gets nothing in the way of assistance? I mean, is he guaranteed a chance to play as a walk-on? What does that mean?
It means, in terms of assistance, he doesn't get a thing. You don't get anything when you're a student who also happens to be a member of an athletic program. But you can go in. Okay, say, for example, let's take you, Buzz, all right? You decide you want to run on at Penn State University.
Okay.
Well, when you get to training camp, you have every bit the same chance to win a job as a scholarship player, because all they're interested in, it, quite frankly, it's getting guys that'll play and win for them.
Really? So he does have an equal, fair opportunity to be a part of that team, then.
Sure, that's he does. I mean, look at this year. Look at this year at Penn State. Exactly.
Yeah.
Where did Matt McGloin start?
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Well, I'd always heard that term, but I never really knew what it meant. So I thought you guys would be the ones to ask.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, and that they don't get any assistance. Eventually, you can earn a scholarship. But Troy Drayton is the perfect example, Buzz. Came to Penn State as a walk-on, earned a spot, and became a second-round pick of the Miami Dolphins. You can go from walk-on to second-round pick at Penn State.
Well, let me ask you this. If Brandon Smith goes on as a walk-on and he does win a position and one of the scholarship people do not, would Smith be eligible for the scholarship of the guy who didn't make the team?
Well, number one, Buzz, I can't talk about specific players, okay,
yeah,
because that's an NCAA violation.
Okay.
So let's take the theory of, number one, scholarships are renewed on a year-by-year basis.
Okay.
But usually what happens with people who are, quote, walk-ons or run-ons in this case, is that when they go through and players graduate and scholarship availabilities open up, a lot of times if a guy's really done well and has earned his spot, they try to make sure that they get them a scholarship as one of the scholarship guys. But what will make it more difficult at Penn State is that you'll be down to only 65 scholarships beginning at the end of next year. Thus, room to do what you're talking about is going to become more problematic for a run-on, walk-on player as compared to having the flexibility 85 to have walk-ons. Like a Derek Day ended up getting a scholarship, and he'd been a walk-on player.
Well, everybody around here is pretty excited for this kid because not only was he a tremendous athlete, he's a good person, and you got to admire a kid who turns down scholarships to live his dream, which is to play at Penn State.
And Buzz, he turned down scholarships from Lehigh, Princeton, Colgate, and Liberty.
Wow. All right, go Penn State.
Buzz, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, which is the Hilscher's General Store hotline. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. The Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today. I'm literally sitting courtside here at the Bryce Jordan Center as Penn State gets ready to take on Purdue tonight at 7 o'clock here at the BJC. Then later in the week, it'll be Nebraska. Tomorrow will be our recruiting extravaganza. And Kevin, in conjunction with my friend, colleague, Brian Tripp, will be able to get some very interesting show for you. I will not be a part of the mix tomorrow because of literally three personal matters I have to take care of in Connecticut and Massachusetts tomorrow. So, in fact, I'm leaving from here to get there tonight to take care of series of things.
Well,
a long laundry list.
Yeah, it's not a coup d'etat.
So, well, you know, but Drew Kelly texted me and he says that the idea, by the way, about Madison Square Garden, he thinks is brilliant, and that, you know, that you're a fuddy duddy.
Well, he would, because he just likes the idea of a concert. That's all. That's all he's worried about. It's just the concert. I'm there for a football game. All right. Just give me the tickets to the football game. He can go to the concert.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, all you
going
have
into you, the game, all yeah. you talked, all you talked about was throwing a Nerf ball through a clown's nose.
No, you know what? Okay, I'm going to say this once and for all.
Whoa! Now we start out yesterday's show, and you ran a commercial, right? And Lawrence, by the way, got a hold of me, and Lawrence told me that you started yesterday's show for him with a Super Bowl commercial.
I like the whole picture, but when it comes to game time, I want the game. All right, I like everything that leads up to the game. I like the post game. I could do without the halftime. It's not a big deal.
You're funny with me. I didn't watch the pregame show.
Listen, my kid was the only one that was really interested in the halftime show, and it was really scary.
Well, there's a period of time where, okay,
there
was a period of time with the Super Bowl. No. That's what I'm about to say here. There was a period of time when it came to the Super Bowl where the game was not a very good game. For whatever reason, I don't know why it turned out that way. You know, there were too many games that were blowouts. I mean, even look at the last 49er one. It was a 50, you know, they blew out the Chargers. It was a, you know, Young threw six touchdown passes and the whole thing. But that's all changed. If you look at Super Bowls since probably Super Bowl 30 with the Cowboys and the Steelers, 30 was a good game, 31 was a good game, 32 was a really good game. Then the Broncos blew out the Falcons in 33. 34 and 35 weren't. But then all of a sudden you get that Patriots run where the Vinatieri field goal, you know, beat Carolina. Vinatieri field goal beat the Rams. The Dyson play at the goal line when Tennessee played the Rams. I mean, from that point on, we've had except for Tampa Bay and Oakland, we've had one really good we really have. So the need for a halftime show has not been – I think if they went back and decided to put 12 minutes on the clock and just have it be 12 minutes, they'd be fine. I think people would be into it.
Well, my big problem with a halftime show is you get some good people there. I mean, my musical taste is not Beyonce. That's fine. But, you know, you had U2 there. You had the Stones. You had the Who. I really enjoyed those, but it was – like getting a tease of a concert anyway. And I ended up wanting more at that point. So it's like, why bother? Give me the 12 minutes, put 20 on the clock or whatever. Let's go through the halftime analysis, and then let's go to the second half. You're only going to tease me with a concert.
Analysis. So I mean, it's sponsored. I mean, Pepsi sponsored it. I think it's outlived its...
And you may be right. It may have outstretched its usefulness, and it may have outlived its usefulness at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it really has, and to me it has. Now, to fans out there, you may have a different opinion. If the halftime show to you is part of your Super Bowl experience, just tell me.
All right, let's sneak in.
You telling me it's a part of your Super?
Let's sneak in, Dave from Sunbury, real quick, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Dave.
A couple of quick things, and you might be able to answer. First of all, I'm going to run it in. As far as Digger Phelps, does he have Alzheimer's or something? Or
no.
And what particular comments did he say he was better? Or didn't he say?
I'm not sure. I think he thought the Big East was better. And I don't mind somebody saying that the Big East is better, but don't give me the logic that Minnesota's lost four games, because they lost four games in the Big Ten, okay? Yeah. They didn't lose four games out of conference. They lost them in the conference, which means the conference is pretty damn good. See, that's where his logic blew up on me.
Yeah, two of the four
lost. None of them are on campus yet, and that's when I can't talk about them. So.
Right, but I didn't give you any names. I just said there's four of them that already have academic scholarship offers. So
that's tremendous. I think that's a great accomplishment. It's a great accomplishment.
The two other things, I'm trying to remember the one, but the one is, did the NFL ever think about buying the Coliseum, refurbishing it, and like every fourth year having the Super Bowl there, but they don't have to pay rentals and stuff?
You're talking about the Los Angeles Coliseum?
Yeah. Was that
The Los Angeles Coliseum, the Los Angeles Coliseum needs a lot of work in order to make that happen. They renovated the Los Angeles Coliseum about 15, 16 years ago, where they took the track out and they changed a little bit in terms of how it works. But they don't have luxury suites in the Los Angeles Coliseum, for one thing. And that's why they want to build the what they want to call Farmers Field, which is going to be located near the L.A. Convention Center and the Staples Center. That would have all the amenities you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's more downtown. It is more downtown. But you know what? If I'm the NFL, I move it around and just give any area the experience. The convention experience is great for all these cities.
Okay, well, here's one particular question for you, and just give me an honest answer. I see Tom Crean periodically spending most of his time on the court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever call him on that?
No. Well, I mean, Fran McCaffrey was way out on the court the other day. They let, a lot of that happens when the ball's at the other end of the floor.
Yeah, but this one,
every once in a while, you'll see an official give a warning. Look, Tom Crean is an interesting guy. I'll leave it at that.
Well, he's up tempo. Is that a nice way to say it too? But he's up tempo.
he better not hope a lot of teams get really good over the next three or four years, because they're not going to be as sympathetic to him as they were before.
Yeah.
I have to take a break, Dave. Oh. Okay, thanks. We'll come back with more from the Jordan Center on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys. Thanks. Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Dance floor, trying to get the attention of a woman who says she once dated Joe Namath.
Wait,
feeling the beat.
Wait, what was that? Start that over. I missed that.
I just gave you the whole theme to the movie Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, okay. All right.
Kevin Herr, white suit. Dance floor.
All right.
Trying to get the attention of a woman who claims at one point she dated Joe Namath. Okay?
I always get that confused with scene in Airplane, so I wasn't quite sure.
The scene in Airplane? When Robert Hayes wears the white suit?
Right. There you go.
My goodness.
There you go.
Goodness gracious. I was talking about Travolta.
I
okay?
know.
I was talking about Travolta. Right, and that would be the Tramps, Disco Inferno. Right?
They'd be all right at halftime.
Are you kidding me?
All right, I got to ask you this question.
You know what? Just get.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, the question that I have to ask you, and I've been waiting kind of all day for this, and
information's good.
And we're having a little bit of a trouble with the signal from the Bryce Jordan Center. We'll get that squared away here in just a minute or two. The question that I have that I'm going to pose to Steve has to do with A-Rod. And we'll if we don't get enough time to discuss it, because I think it's going to be a big, long discussion, we may have to spill over into the next hour with this one. But the topic now is A-Rod believes there's a conspiracy against him. I can't wait to get Steve's thought on that. And we'll get Steve back from the Bryce Jordan Center here in just a moment. A reminder here on WKOK tonight, it is Shikellamie Wrestling. The Braves will be wrestling at Bellefonte. Steve Williams has a call, 7:06. And we'll get the preview of the Penn State Nittany Lions basketball game tonight from the Bryce Jordan Center as well, with Steve Jones here in a few minutes. But again, coming up in the next hour, because I know we're not going to have enough time to talk about it now, because this is going to be a long, drawn-out affair. A-Rod, the latest report, believes there's a conspiracy against him, so he is holed up somewhere in Miami, huddling with his lawyers and PR people, trying to disappear off the face of the earth.
There's no conspiracy against him.
He thinks there
is. They just have him. Well, guess what? I mean, you know, here's his problem. That notebook is a huge problem. The notebook they have on A-Rod is a huge, huge problem. And when Tom Verducci's writing about it, Tommy doesn't write it unless he knows he has it backed up. Now, what was the question you've been aching to ask?
Well, that was it. I wanted to get your thoughts on A-Rod here, on the soap opera that is A-Rod.
Well,
now he's holed up in Miami with his lawyers, with his PR people, and they're not saying where he is because they're worried about paparazzi.
I don't care where he is. I don't think he's going to be in baseball unless he has this straightened out.
That's what
his career is over. I think his career is over. If this proves to be true, nobody's going to want him. Not even the Allentown Iron Pigs.
No more A-bombs from A-Rod.